You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Hi, I'm Mike Peskin for Leonard Lopate. Symmetrical book stacking, just like the Philadelphia mass turbulence of 1947, no human being would stack books like this. And thus began Nick Carr's love of the city and its locales. That was a line from Ghostbusters. And now, when a movie needs a location, who are they going to call? Nick Carr. See what I did there?
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Nick.
He's a film location scout who's responsible for how the city looks on film. Films like The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, the recent version, Doubt, Night at the Museum, all films he scouted. He's got a great blog called scoutingny.com where he shares his favorite locales around the city. The blog is things that he has found, and that's interesting. And he also has some slideshows comparing a then and now look at movies. It's called New York, You've Changed. Well, first, let me welcome you to WNYC. Thanks for coming in, Nick.
Thank you very much for having me.
And we have collected on our site, WNYC.org, we took a few shots that you've collected from Taxi Driver, mm-hmm. some then and now locations. And what strikes me from that is, I was just in there talking with Melissa, the producer, every old, gritty, kind of cool location, it hasn't just changed, they've all become banks.
Right. They've all become banks and Starbucks, and that's the way the city's been headed.
And some Dwayne Reeds.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, in the defense of New York, Martin Scorsese definitely chose to grit up the city a bit. I've heard from numerous people who lived in the city back then, they say it was not exactly what you see in Taxi Driver, but that's been erased. Everything you see in that movie is gone.
There's some appeal to the gritty New York City, because even when you go to the New York Casino Hotel in Las Vegas, they have fake Village Voice boxes, and there's graffiti, fake graffiti on them. So I think people do yearn for the grittier New York City, and they kind of nostalgize it.
Absolutely, and I feel, that's a line that's, you got to be cautious walking. You don't want to be nostalgic for something that was a time you didn't live in. You can look back in old photographs and be like, hey, that was cool. That was cool, New York. But at the same time, New York certainly had a more distinct character, you could say, 30 years ago than the bland, even in terms of architecture, bland steel and glass buildings that go up where in the old days it would just... people actually cared about putting some design and detail into buildings.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong, but the whole idea of shooting Toronto and just passing it off as New York, it doesn't seem like that would be possible 30 years ago. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there are examples where
they get away with it now. I can't tell you how many TV shows you've seen that have been shot in Vancouver or Toronto that were set in New York. And
that's money out of your pocket, right?
Yeah. You want the film productions to come here when the tax incentive has wavered over the past few years, when it goes down. A show, Fringe, good show on Fox, just left town to go film in Vancouver. They were a New York-based show, and incidentally, a New York-based show that was faking New York for Boston. anyway, now Vancouver is Boston, so we lost a paying job here.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Massachusetts. I grew up in Salem, Massachusetts, north of Boston, which city, and moved to New York in 2000 to attend Columbia University, and I've been here since.
And were you first a movie buff or first a locations buff?
Oh, I was a movie buff. The idea of getting into locations was not even on my radar when I started reaching out to anyone I could to get a job in film. I had no idea. I didn't even know what locations was. I knew there was scouting. I figured it was all signing permits. I had no idea.
And so what was your first job in film?
Very first job in film was through a friend of a friend. I got a job working on War of the Worlds as a PA. Tom Cruise had in his contract that he would get phone lines and internet hard lines at every shooting location for War of the Worlds. We were shooting in West Virginia. We were shooting upstate New York. We were shooting in Connecticut.
Because it's based in New Jersey, right? Didn't the film take place in...
The movie originates in New Jersey. Yeah. And literally, they said, do you know how to do this? And I said, absolutely. I had no idea what I was doing.
That's what you have to say.
Exactly. And I just I plowed through it, and it actually went really well. And I got to be a fly on the wall of War of the Worlds, which was great. I worked so closely with the locations department on that, where is this trailer going to be parked, that when it came time to find a real job, because, that's not a career, doing phone lines for Tom Cruise or whatever, I reached out to locations people, and I said, I don't know what you guys do, but will you hire me? And they said yes. And now I'm a scout.
Do you think being a non-native New Yorker helps you? In other words, you see things anew and you just don't assume, oh, that's always been there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's sort of what my site goes to show. I think that when you walk by the same place for 10 years, you just don't appreciate it. You take it for granted. And on my site, I tend to point out things that they're, you know, off the beaten track, but if you look for them, you'll see them. And I get letters from people saying, I've walked by that every day when I've gone to work, and I've never noticed that. I've been going past that for 5 years. I've never noticed that. And it really, I think it definitely helps to have a removed eye.
You also write on your site that when you became a New Yorker, you kind of internalized the real New Yorkers don't look up. Real New Yorkers don't want to seem like tourists.
Right.
That's a good way to miss everything also.
Absolutely. When I first came here, I just had this thing. Someone told me, I think, that New Yorkers just don't look up. They don't stop in the street with their big tourist map. You got to look like a real New Yorker and show it. And just in the course of scouting, I just threw that out the window. I was like, what am I, an idiot? You know, I have this beautiful city around me. Why wouldn't I stop and appreciate it? And I don't know, for some reason, people, and myself included, for a lot of the time, feel the need to indicate to out-of-towners they are from the city and you're stopping them. Get out of my way. You know, stop looking up. And, you know, you just miss a lot that way.
Yeah, you have to make eye contact with the buildings as
Absolutely.
Well as the people. And on the site, it's not just here's a good location. It's often just here's a cool thing. For instance, there's a bus that used to be from a big stone bus that used to be from one of the theaters that's sitting in a up on 80 something street. Do you know?
I'm drawing a blank.
You're looking confused. The Ziegfeld Theater, maybe?
Oh, a bus. Sorry, Mr. Drew. Yes, there is. If you're walking around the 80s, you'll pass by this enormous bust of, I think it's a Greek woman, just sitting in this guy's front area in front of his brownstone. And used to be a huge, beautiful, it's called a movie palace theater called the Ziegfeld in the 50s, completely torn down. Someone happened to be driving by the day it was torn down, asked the developer, hey, you're throwing out that enormous bust. Mind if I have it? And the guy said, sure. And he put it in his front yard. And that's all that remains of one of the most beautiful theaters that it was ever in New York.
So that's not a location. It's a cool thing to note. Do you think that there's any chance something like that will ever show up in a movie?
No. One of the things I've learned, and you'll see on my website, it's all about the small details. Movies are about the bigger picture. And what I found is that when you're scouting, you're really looking for the overall feel of a location. You're never going to see you're never going to notice the fire escape, the cool brick design, the graffiti. It's all going to be a blur in the background. The blur is important, but it's all about the broad strokes.
This is Mike Pesca in for Leonard Lopate, and we're speaking with Nick Carr, who maintains a site called scoutingny.com. And on our website, wnyc.org, there's a slideshow of Taxi Driver. So let's get into this series so it mirrors a little bit of series on your site, New York, Now You've Changed. You go shot by shot in movies that take place in New York and compare then to now. So what are some of the movies you do, and what are some of the amazing finds?
I have covered three movies to date. And they happen to be three of my favorite New York movies: Ghostbusters, Taxi Driver, and Rosemary's Baby. And what you find, which I guess is sort of obvious, is that movies like Ghostbusters that shot in very archetypal locations in New York have thankfully not changed very much. You shoot at the New York Public Library today, and you're shooting at the same library back in 1984. You look at a movie like Taxi Driver, where they focus on the aspects of New York that specifically came and arose through neglect and ignorance of what New York had to offer at the time. And, you know, people care about the city now. It's a different New York, and most of that's gone.
One of the points that you made in one, there's a lecture hall in Ghostbusters that was also in, I think, Spider-Man 3. Was that your movie, Spider-Man 3? Did you scout
that? I did scout a lot of rooftops for Spider-Man 3, yes.
Did you remember some of these things from movies you've seen as opposed to just locations?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you go in, there's one, the best, I would say, you want to shoot a lecture hall, that Spider-Man lecture hall in New York City, you go to Columbia University. There's one beautiful lecture hall I'm going to put up on my site in the next few weeks, and it's just all wood paneling, wood desks with the chalkboard that slide up and down. You've seen it in countless movies, and you think New York is filled with these, you know, lecture halls, and there's one, and we all shoot there. And
and everyone knows about it.
And there's one guy
at Columbia who says, all right, you want the lecture hall? I have this.
Absolutely.
There's no classes going on, just movies.
Yep, we try to show other alternatives, and they just go with that one. It's the best one.
So as far as the some suggestions for what you could do next, I was thinking Marathon Man might be a good movie to do.
Yep.
And I was thinking Panic in Needle Park, although it's kind of contained.
Yeah, but it's still interesting to explore this.
And the last one, this would be hard because it's all throughout the boroughs, French Connection.
A French Connection, everybody's been begging me to do that, and the Warriors, they're saying you have to recreate that chase and see what's still there, and I'm definitely going to.
Because I don't know if people are like me, because whenever I see an old movie, if it's a good movie, I'm usually in the movie, but I will watch almost any old movie from the 70s just to, if the locations are really specific, just to compare then and now what you're doing.
Right, and what I think is great in the old days is people would come to New York to film New York City as a character in the movie. You cannot make Taxi Driver in any other city. You cannot make it with a backdrop. It is because New York is such a strong part that it makes the movie great. People nowadays tend to come to New York and they want New York City to serve as a backdrop. They wanted that blur in the background. There's the Empire State Building out every single apartment window. There's every time someone walks, you know, to get home, they take a shortcut down an alley. New York City has five alleys, maybe, that are photogenic enough, and I don't think any of us travel down them in our attempts to get home quicker. I don't know, but they want to shoot there. They want to shoot in New York that they have in their minds versus what's real. And there was a time when people came to New York to really try to capture the city on film, and they just, for whatever reason, don't tend to do that anymore.
We're lionizing a great movie like Taxi Driver, but you know, Sex and the City, a totally different kind of vibe. They glamorize New York,
right.
But they did get legitimate New York locations.
Certainly, and they brought, and you know, you can appreciate it for that. They brought a lot of attention to smaller places. They didn't just go shoot at a tavern on the Green
right.
when they needed your big your big New York City restaurant. And I appreciate it for that, yeah.
What are the good TV shows now that you think do well? Maybe you could talk about ones that you work on if you want.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've worked on some of the cop dramas before, and to be honest, you know, I think Gossip Girl does a pretty – I know the locations department on that. They do a really good job of, pushing to get locations in that might not otherwise find their way into a show like that. So you might be surprised. Gossip Girls, you know, you're thinking maybe it's just – following in the footsteps of Sex and the City, but they do a great job with their locations.
For among location scouts, is there a white whale? Are there locations that you all always want but know you can't get?
There are locations that I will scout and really push to get in a movie just because it's so unique and I think it's so cool and let's just do something different. And a lot of times a director will come to the city, say, I want to shoot New York like no one's ever seen it before. And we get excited and we say, great. We go out, we shoot things that we don't shoot the same old alley or the same old lecture hall. We shoot something new. We bring them and then most of the time the director's response is, why don't we do another round? And that's when we go shoot that alley everyone shoots in, that lecture hall everyone shoots in, and he flips out and we've got a movie and we go and make it. And
so what's the most unusual request you get?
Oh, it could be anything. For a recent movie, I had to scout castles. They said, we need a castle to stand in for medieval Europe. And I'm like, okay. And it turns out there are quite a number of incredible castles along the Hudson River. And so that's my job for a week, is to get in my car and drive and go to the turrets of castles and shoot. And it's great.
There's also some really good, I mean, if stately Wayne Manor, if they want to do another Batman, you could definitely do it in Yonkers, because there are some great manors up there that I had never heard about until I went on your site.
There is one of my favorite properties in the New York City area is Alder Manor, which you can see on my website, and it's this old mansion, huge. It's got a pool on the second floor. The floor plan basically looks like the Clue layout, the Clue board game layout, and it is I wouldn't say abandoned for a while, but it was left to kind of deteriorate. Now it's been bought by Trust. They're doing a lot of filmmaking there, and it's great. But yeah, you would never expect. It's across the street from like a strip mall, and it's this incredible manor. And it's beautiful.
Are there locations that are yours that other film scouts will say, that's if I'm watching this movie, Nick scouted it. You know, he always puts people here.
Yeah, no. I wish I could say that, but no. We all, I work for a larger department. We all mix our locations together, and I wish we all had our little trademark locations, but we all just share and call each other up when we get stuck.
And what about buying up someone's apartment because the location looks nice and, you know, paying them a fee? Is there a standard fee? How do you convince people to do that?
You know, unfortunately, it depends on the neighborhood. If you live in a wealthier neighborhood, you have less of an incentive, so you're ultimately going to make more. And if you live in a cheaper neighborhood to film in, then we'll pay you less. And we know that if the one apartment says no, there's a lot of others that will say yes. And I hate doing that. It's the way, you know, film production tends to work.
Yeah.
But no, there's no standard fee, but a lot of negotiating.
What is your biggest pet peeve when you watch a movie where they get the geography so wrong that it's almost insulting to anyone who's walked the streets of New York?
Yeah, I forget what movie I was watching recently, but I know. You can look at Cloverfield, and I love it. They're running from this enormous monster, and they're going downtown, and someone suggests they take the Williamsburg Bridge, which is the first bridge you'd hit, then the Manhattan Bridge, then the Brooklyn Bridge. And someone suggests, like, hey, let's go over the Williamsburg Bridge. And one of the characters comes up with the most ludicrous reason to, no, let's not do that. Let's go to the photogenic Brooklyn Bridge. And they're there in 30 seconds. It's the most ridiculous thing. And I feel it hurts the movie. I think people come to New York. I think they want to see that. I think they're disappointed when they see a movie hasn't followed logic. And, you know, maybe I'm nuts. Maybe it's a subliminal thing. But I really think it comes through when you treat movie logic as correct. A great example of this is in Ghostbusters. You have Lewis Tully running out of an apartment building, crosses, tries to get into Tavern on the Green. Makes sense. Tavern on the Green is located a couple blocks north of that. And you go there and it makes sense. I appreciate movies that take it seriously like that.
Then again, some really successful shows just have totally absurd geography. You know, Seinfeld, this quintessential New York show, had a couple days a year where they would get all their New York shots, and then everything else was either a soundstage or exteriors in Los Angeles, and no one seemed to mind.
You can get away with it.
Now, I was reading that in movies there has been a trend, especially with the worsening economy, to take middle-class characters. It used to be that middle-class characters would live in pretty huge homes, maybe beyond their years. Friends, again, a good example of this. They lived in an opulent apartment. But now people, viewers, don't really want to see people living above their means, and they kind of downsizing that. Have you encountered that?
If viewers don't like seeing it, they should call producers and send letters so I know what to scout. A director will say, could you find me a college student's apartment? And the whole locations department now has to wrestle with, like, do they really want, you know, a 10 by 10 room with, you know, barely room to move? Or do they want the film version, which is a palatial palace of an apartment that no college student in his right mind could possibly afford? And it's always, my experience, it's always the latter. It's always ridiculous.
Because another consideration, of course, is that they've got to get their equipment. You've got to get, you know, a crew in there. So if you want a really small space, you can't even fit everyone in if you have anything
other
than
a handheld. And to be honest, if you're filming for a longer period of time than a day or two, we just build it on a stage. Assuming it's a big enough movie, there's you got to have breakaway walls or you could never get the cameras and lights in there.
And what about Taking of Pelham 123? This was an interesting movie. It used probably more locations than the original. It used iconic locations. I don't want to give away an ending, but a big bridge factored in. Did you find everything with that movie?
Yeah, definitely erred on the side of iconic, I think, for that movie. But Tony Scott really uses, director Tony Scott uses the locations, really makes the most of them. The geography doesn't always make sense, but he definitely loves to highlight it. What was great about that movie was scouting underground tunnels and spending days on end in the New York City subway tunnels, which was really an interesting experience.
So you have to scout them. It's not like you go to the city and say, I want to do the subway. I mean, within, because I know there's like two airplanes in Hollywood and every airplane scene is filmed in these airplanes. It's not that with New York subways.
It is. What it is it's a call to the MTA to say, hey, we need to film. This is our time period. This is what we're looking to do. What can we use? And there are very certain subway stations that they film most movies in. They're way out, you know, and the end of the lines in Brooklyn and such. But you still have to go out. You have to scout them. You have to get down there and show if they've changed at all, which, of course, they haven't. And, But, yeah, we still do have to go out and scout them, even if we've got pictures from the last job.
Is scouting a little bit of a misnomer? It sounds like you just find the place and then that's it. Or is there more to it once you point
that's
a director in that
only
location?
The beginning of the job. And that's what I thought locations was when I first got into it. It turns out it's, I mean, you are the liaison between every single department on a movie. You have producers yelling at you because a location costs too much money. You have a director telling you that it's not fitting his vision. You have camera department that needs shots looking from a rooftop down or through a window. You have a sound department complaining about air conditioning being too loud, and can we take care of that? You have an art department needing to get in to take measurements of the most things you'd never even think of. You are dealing with the location. Scouting is just the beginning. Once you find that location, that's really when our job gets difficult. And you know, we're on for the entire job, and we communicate with everyone. We're the go-between in every department, I'd say.
And the reason that someone asked you to find a castle in New York was once they're here, they want to not go too far to get everything else.
That's correct.
You ever been asked to find a cornfield in New York or a farm in New York?
No. I'm trying to think of the strangest thing. I mean, you mentioned Toronto before. I think the strangest thing, a job I ever worked on, I didn't scout directly, but these guys shot a movie in Toronto trying to fake New York, and they looked at their footage after, and they said, man, this doesn't look like New York. We got to go to New York, get some footage. I told the locations guys, listen, go scout, but when you're scouting around here, we need you to find New York that looks like Toronto. And so it's just like, what are you talking about? So if it's too iconic,
you got to match. You got
to
match.
It would match, It would be too iconic.
Sort of halfway in between. You can't jar them from Toronto to New York.
I do not envy those guys, because the locations they came up with were, you know, in its defense, they shot locations no one ever shoots in, because it kind of looks like Toronto, but it is New York.
Is there a building that looks like the CN Tower? I'm not even sure.
I don't know. I don't know.
All right, Nick Carr's website is called scoutingny.com. We've got an example of some of the stuff he does on our website, wnyc.org. Nick Carr, thanks very much for being with us today.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.